Let me get this recording going. Well, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the rain we've gotten, Lord. I think we've got plenty now. I ask you to shut it off. Thank you, Father, that tomorrow and the next day is going to be beautiful days. And, Lord, we thank you for blessing our night tonight, blessing our meeting tonight. Let your anointing fall on us, Lord, and anoint us to speak the things that you'd have us to speak. And let these revelations come forward tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Well, I did have an empty page here, I guess. Has anybody got any prayer requests or testimonies or praise report? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I'd like y'all to join us in praying for the we got fires around here. We don't have enough rain. And there's a big one started up this afternoon west of town. There's a 1,000-acre fire in central Washington. The wind's blowing pretty good. So, Father, we pray that you would stop the winds, help firefighters, protect them all, protect the people that are affected by it, and keep them under your Mighty One protection. That they would be no loss of life or property, and that the wind would die down and these fires would get under control. And thank you for that, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for a nice, good rain now up there where Tim and them are. In Jesus' name. I know they don't get many, but Lord, we thank you for that rain you already got on the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else? And I want to pray, Father, I just thank you for scattering these enemies, these factious enemies. I thank you, Lord, that we bind every demon that's running them in the name of Jesus from coming against UBM. And David, in the name of Jesus, we command, we bind you up and cast you off of them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you give them clarity of thought so that they would know the damage and the stupidness that they've done. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to humble them, bring them back in the name of Jesus. We look forward to that, Lord. Lord, you know our heart, that we'll forgive them just as immediately after they repent. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your mighty warrior angels are standing around about President Trump and his family. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for draining the swamp up there. Not only that, shutting up the mainstream media over there, for talking against America, talking against the president, talking against everything. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, we ask and we pray that you put it in the congressman and senator's hearts to fund this wall down in the southern part of the United States, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to have to, and that the government will not be shut down. And we praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to put in prison all of those people that have done harm to the United States government and the United States people over the last 50 years, Lord. Some of them been in there way too long and got too deeply involved in the deep state, Lord. And we thank you for exposing them and turning them over, Lord. We praise you for draining that swamp up there in Jesus' name. We thank you for doing the same thing for Canada and South Africa as well. And any other country that's committed itself to open borders to allow the enemy in, to the enemy of Christianity in. And Father, we thank you that you're going to help us out in this respect in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I noticed in the news that the left is even, they're getting confused. They're getting they're having a civil war, so to speak, in their ranks now. Lord, splitting them up. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. Amen. All right. Anybody got a testimony or praise report they'd like to share with us?
I'll give one.
Okay, George.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm finding a whole population of people that I'm getting to know, and they know it, getting to recognize me down at a bus stop in Bangor, Maine, and their hearts are real soft right now towards me. I'm kind of just doing the groundwork of passing out waters on hot days and just getting to know them. And I had one guy about passing out the other day. He was walking, getting lightheaded, and they came and said, you know, I've been asking the Lord to kind of make these connections and not me to go do it in my own flesh so much, but to be available. And this one guy was, him and his girl came and sat on my bench there. So he was lightheaded coming in, and they let me pray for him and just kind of poured prayer and life into him. And every time I see him now, he makes good eye contact with me, and he's, you know, he's always happy to see me, and just kind of, we've got this thing going now. So a few more today too. It's kind of like the regulars. They all know each other pretty good, and I can sit there and be quiet. So the Holy Spirit is softening them up, I guess you could say.
Amen. Lord can do it. All right, anyone else? Okay. Well, we had kind of two subjects tonight. One of them was you wanted to talk about waiting on the Lord, and the other one was somebody else wanted. I think Joe was wanting to talk about baptism, and somebody else wanted to talk about waiting on the Lord. I think that was Wade. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. I guess we'll hit whichever one y'all want to hit first. Somebody want to start out? Just pick a subject. You got two there. Just one at a time. I can't handle all these, everybody holding up your hand at the same time. You know, it's... I tell you what, hang on just a second. A good place on baptism, Joe, is Romans 6, Romans chapter 6, verses 3. And we'll probably read through 12. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 12. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism unto death. That's the death to the flesh. That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, praise God. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. That's died to the flesh, okay? But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he lives unto God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. The importance of baptism is tremendous. When you get saved, you should get baptized immediately. That's what the Lord says. And what that baptism represents, as we just read in Romans 6 there, is your death and burial under the water and Jesus coming back out of the water in a resurrected life. Now, we believe that by faith, and as we read and study the Word of God, it'll start manifesting as well. And that's what he's talking about in Romans 6 there. We resurrected when we come out of that water. We're like Jesus. And we often quote 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. You know, you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. That's the gospel in itself. That's where you bear the fruit right there. 30, 60, and 100 fold is bearing the fruit of Jesus in your life. And the start of it is baptism. And so it's necessary for everybody to be baptized and understand what baptism is when you do get baptized. A lot of preachers don't understand what baptism's all about. But if you get in the Word of God, Romans 6 is the good one. You'll understand that when you go down, you're going down to the flesh, and you're going to leave that flesh underwater. When you come back out, you're a new man in Christ. You're a new man in Christ Jesus. And as you allow the water of the Word to wash through your mind and through your spirit, you'll start manifesting Jesus Christ in your life. But the start is the baptism. Has anybody got anything else they want to add to that? Yeah, Leo.
There's a conjunction verse with that in Colossians chapter 2. And let's say, starting in verse 10. I was just reading it last night, and I was thinking about it. Verse 10 says, "In him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh," and there's where that comes in the circumcision of Christ, "having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the workings of God, who raised him from the dead." So that's another one that says basically the same thing. And I just ran across it last night. And we're putting off the body of the flesh. We're dying to the flesh, and that's what the baptism is like. That's what it means, that you die to your flesh and then you're raised by God in the resurrection. So you're raised a new man. like it says in verse Romans 6. So.
Amen. That's a good one. And it also is talking about the circumcision, which,
right,
you know, sows the seed without the flesh, you know.
That's in Romans 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else on baptism? Thank you, Leo.
Hi, Michael. Hi, everyone.
How you doing, brother?
Okay, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing feel real good right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for all the prayer. Thank you, everyone, for the prayer for that healing. We're the Doughboy. Somehow we can't get our little picture to come on of us.
We can
see you, and so
don't know how to access the camera. So
we'll mess with it at another time. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, all right.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad to have you, Denny. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Just something that came to my mind as I was thinking about that is the visual is helping you to reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God. As you can have that action that you did as dying. You went down that water and you died, and your old flesh, who was sinful, died in that water, and you came up a new creation where you can help. That can help you put that together as far as reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive unto God.
Amen. Amen. That's a good one. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
I've got another kind of a memory type tool also. I think the baptism is a good, it's one of those things we're told to do that takes our imagination to explore it, I guess you could say. But I always think too how Christ and we were hung on the cross. That was the capital punishment of the day. Well, today's capital punishment is the electric chair. And I think of Galatians 2:20, when that 220 volts goes through you, it's permanent. And Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So just another visual tool that I always have remembered. While we're so quiet, anticipating the harvest, you know, we go back to the time when we were all saved and the anytime we, if we weren't baptized immediately, anytime we heard about it, we're like, oh, when can I get baptized? You know, it was a sense of urgency in us. But you go into these churches who might have had it on a back burner. But I think with the harvest we're going to face and the understanding of how important it is that taking people through the scriptures that explains the cleansing of our sins and the new man and the identification with Christ and the covenant, the deal that's going on with that born again experience. These acts of obedience lead to closeness with the Lord and holiness. And so I just think that we definitely need to take it seriously and get ready, because if the harvest is coming at us, we're going to need to consider, where's the body of water? Where am I going to go and what am I going to do? Because I am going to be dunking some folks. So I've seen people standing up in a hefty, you know, one of those big giant trash cans or a neighborhood swimming pool. Sometimes a hotel will make allowances for somebody to come and use their pool for a quick in and out, or, you know, I do a lot of my stuff on, you know, within a half a mile of the, or a quarter of a mile of the Penobscot River, and I found a little bank that's easy to get down. So when the time comes, I'm going to be like the Pied Piper leading them down.
Well, you know, if you read in Acts, every time they got people saved, they take them right then and dunk them. They dunk them right immediately. It didn't make any difference what time it was, day or night. They dunk them. They take them to the river or the lake or whatever they had. I've dunked them in horse troughs. I've dunked them in rivers. I've dunked them in lakes. You know, it just whatever's handy. You know, I never have used a regular church baptism alone. I never have. And I got baptized in one of them. Okay, anybody else? George, you're right. It's going to be necessary to have something real close. Well, you know where you're going to go. Okay. Any questions, Joe? Go ahead, Leah.
I was just going to say, we could take them down to the river after the earthquakes. It's going to be a thermal river, and it'll be nice and warm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to have – I'll be wearing my shirt, too. Glory to God, my Hawaiian shirt. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
It'd be better going in, like, 60 or 50-degree water.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
I've been some of that before, you know. Yeah, I'd love that better, Leon, personally.
Oh. Amen.
Amen.
Well, all right. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I don't really. Well, I don't know. I guess, yeah, I didn't even consider that when I got baptized. I first got baptized like a month later after I got saved. And, you know, like, and like I said last, you know, Tuesday, I don't even, to be honest, I don't know if that's when I first got saved. You know, I really questioned that within the last so many years of my walk. It's like, you know, I never heard the real gospel. You know, I never knew I was a sinner, never knew I was in need of saving. You know, it was at a Billy Graham crusade. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty, I mean, we know how watered down, I guess, the gospel got with him over the years. And it's just, you know, I never really understood until years later after I left the, you know, left the church. And, so, yeah, at that time, I guess, with baptism, I'm kind of thinking, well, I mean, would it be more of something I guess I'd have to pray over or just pray about? Because I'm thinking, well, you know, like you said, Michael, I mean, you know, you got rebaptized. And like I said Tuesday, I got baptized twice, you know, and that didn't really mean anything to me. You know, I didn't consider it as what the scriptures say. So it's thinking, I'm like, well, now that I know the scriptures on this subject, would it be wise to get rebaptized? Or maybe that's something I just have to pray about. You know, it's, I mean, if the Lord says yes, to go ahead, you know, then go ahead, I guess.
Well, so. What we tell everybody is if you didn't understand it the first time, it's best to go ahead and get it done again, you know.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Go ahead, Tim.
Now go ahead. Yeah.
Well, this might help just a little bit, Joe, and the dictionary in the back of the Bible kind of puts all these verses together and sentences that Baptist washing, signifying repentance, the putting away of sin and the beginning of a new life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
True.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay. I guess I'll share a little bit about my baptism experience. It wasn't the knowledge of the true gospel. I didn't know what it all meant. I was doing it in obedience, and partially it was to be a member of the church I was in.
Yep.
But at the same time, I was doing it in faith that I knew that the Lord had changed me. I knew the Lord had saved me. Mm-hmm. And even though I didn't have scriptural knowledge, understanding at that time when I got saved, I didn't have a lot of anything then. I just knew God changed me. And I look back at that experience, and knowing what I know now, I still use my faith in that. Okay, well, I know what it is now. And I still recall myself going down into that water, being baptized by the pastor who baptized me. And I came up joyous, and I knew I was a new person when it happened. I mean, before it happened, I knew I was a new person. So I just take what the knowledge I have of it now and apply it to what I did. I don't have anyone here to baptize me, and I don't feel like I need to. I'm just exercising my faith that telling the enemy, no, I was baptized and I know I was saved and I know I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. So it's up to the individual and where you are in your walk and your faith, yeah, and what you believe. So,
that's basically the way I did, Jude, same thing. I knew I was saved when I got up there and went under the water. It was in a Baptist church. You. Yeah.
Me too. Thank God. That's, you know, if that was the main reason why God got me in that Baptist church, God, and in that baptismal, you, yeah, know, praise the Lord. That's how I kind of received, mm-hmm, it afterwards, it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise God for the Baptist. They do a lot of baptizing. But, you know, just like Judy said, Joe, if you feel in your heart you were saved when you got it and you feel okay with it, that's fine. That's, when I got baptized, I didn't understand it either. I don't think the preacher understood it either. He just told me I was a new creation in Christ, you know, and that's what I accepted. And I knew it too, because I felt real cleansed when I came out of that water. But anyway, that's just me. Do you have something, Andrew? Dadgummit. I can hear you now.
Oh. Okay.
Whatever you did, it worked.
Completely related here. It does speak of a new life, and it's Matthew 10:38 and 39, when it talks about taking up your cross. Because it says here that, and who taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Who findeth his life and loseth it, and who loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So there's the old man, new man scenario there, where you lose your old life and you gain your new life. It applies to the cross, and especially that wonderful book, How Shall We Die? And if you've been through a baptism and you know what your baptism is, you can also put it towards this. And you still have to fight the good fight of the faith, though, and cast down those serpents that come into your head too, and any fears too, because you have all the power over the enemy. But if you don't rejoice in that, because it's Christ in you doing that, you're just agreeing with it on certain items there, and that's just what I found too, how taking up your cross and circumcision and baptism kind of all collate together. That's it.
Amen. The fulfillment of the baptism, that's when it's manifested in our natural realm here. And that happens, as we talked about a while ago, as you get to washing your mind with the water of the Word. The Word is what cleanses you. The Word brings you back to the cross. The Word tells you who you are in Christ, you know. So, let's see. This is Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when after you're baptized, you can point, when the devil comes after you, you can point to him and say, hey, look, you can't mess with me. I died back there. When your flesh starts acting up, I died back there. Leave me alone. I'm a new creature in Christ. I command you to leave me alone right now. You can't tempt me right now. Well, that's where old Michael died, back there at the water, at the baptism. You can't mess with me anymore. And that's what it's all about right there. You know, when you're baptized, it's kind of like when people are healed and the elders lay hands on them and you believe by faith you're healed. That baptism's the same way. You believe by faith that you're no longer walking in sin. You're no longer a slave to the flesh, that Christ in you is now the leader of the pack, so to speak. Anybody else? We can go to a lot of verses on death to flesh and stuff like that. But I think just like George was talking, or somebody was talking about, it might have been somebody else, but how shall we die? We've been going through that book here. We're almost through it now. We're on the last chapter coming up next week. That's a great, great book to read and study and get it in your heart. I might have been Andrew talking about how shall we die. I don't know, whoever it was, but that's the book that we've been going in the last 8 weeks now, I guess. All right, go ahead, Julie.
Hey, Joe, there's a teaching on the website, on UBM website. It's under miscellaneous audios, and it's on the right hand where they're alphabetically listed, and it's called Believing in Your Baptism.
Oh, yep, yep.
There's another one, too. There's one that's
that also...
Okay. There's another one too, Julie. It's transcribed. It's called Truth About Baptism or something like that.
Oh, under the transcriptions?
I think it's under the teachings and revelations.
Okay.
I think so. It's just a little short thing that it'll teach you. It tells you a little bit about it. David goes into it. I looked it up and went through it a little bit this afternoon. And what's the name of that other one, Julie?
Oh, under the audios, under miscellaneous, on the right column, it's called Believing in Your Baptism.
Okay, that's all talking about dying to self, isn't it? Amen. Okay. Anybody else on baptism or dying to self?
Wait, that one, Michael, you said was in the revelations and teachings?
I think so. I think it might be in transcriptions, but I think it's in teachings.
Okay.
Anyone else? Yeah, George.
Just thinking about how the death part of that is very important, but that resurrection life,
yeah,
so much more. Galatians 6:14 says, far be it from me to glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified unto me and I unto the world. And that's just such a picture of the separation that we've got from the world, that not only are we crucified with Christ and we're ready to live with him and him live in us, but it's like Jesus told Satan, you've got nothing in me. You know, there's nothing that the world can do to resurrect that old man and bring it back. You know, if we live by the Spirit, we won't be tempted. We'll rise above and overcome.
Amen.
I have to do it every day with all kind of stuff. I mean, it's at work or anything else, whether it's somebody talking about a retirement plan or somebody trying to get on my nerves or just saying those, you know, everybody's got a job description, but it's like, you know, okay, well, let's backpedal a little bit and make sure we can do what we're supposed to be doing. And it's kind of just like helping everybody along and trying not to get in pride or come over the top. I have to stay dead. And that old trainer in me that used to train cooks, he's got to die too. I can't use that old style. I have to find a new style in the Lord that is really just absorbing a lot of that stuff and trying to succeed through love. And you know, it's every day.
Yep, it is. It's a constant battle. It's a constant battle, and it's nothing. It's a spiritual warfare thing. We just have to understand that that's what it is. What we signed up for. Praise God. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. What was the other one? Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Okay. Now, whose question was that? Was that you, Wade? No, that was Joe. Okay, Joe. Joe Britz. All right, Joe.
I just want to find out how you old people doing it. I try to be not praying all the time, just to be quiet, to non-shame. I won't say it's meditate, but just be quiet. How do you focus on just God, just not praying, but just waiting on God? Well, I'm not sure how to explain it. Just to be quiet, just to listen. How do you keep your focus? Do you understand?
Yep, I do. I understand. Waiting on the Lord. Anybody want to? We talked about this once or twice before. Waiting on the Lord. What's that, Wade?
I'm sorry, I forgot to remute myself.
Okay, no problem. Okay. Well, I remember waiting on the Lord, and he's talking about when you're sitting there meditating on the Lord and you're waiting on the Lord to do something, to not do something, but to give you a revelation, to give you some kind of an answer, to give you whatever it is that you're waiting on. In Psalms 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. The Lord just wants us to rest and to understand it's Him that's in charge. And that's just one of them I picked up. It's a little bit of something to do with what he's talking about. I'll tell you another one, Joe, is Psalms 23. And we all know that. Psalms 23. It starts out, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Already he's talking about waiting on the Lord, being patient. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters while I'm sitting here waiting on Him. He restores my soul while I'm sitting here waiting on Him. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You know what that is. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's I can just only give you what I do when I'm meditating on the Lord, and I do it most of mine in the morning time. And first thing I do is get up and praise God, you know, praise Him. Thank Him for everything that He's done for me. And I just ask the Lord, you know, Lord, show me what You want me to know today. And I'll sit there and just meditate, you know, for a little bit. And then maybe something will come up in my mind about what scripture to look at. And I know it's the Lord, you know, and then go to that scripture and then see what the Lord has to say. That's kind of what happens, you know, with me. I don't know about anybody else. Yeah, Julie.
I looked the word up quite a few months ago. I looked it up in the dictionary, in the Vines and the Webster, and that helped me really understand what waiting was, you know, when you're waiting on the Lord is when you've prayed something, you're asking God for something. It's like, okay, now I'm expecting God to answer. And in Webster's, it says to stay or rest in expectation, to stop or remain stationary till the arrival of some person or event. Rest and expectation and patience is another definition there. To look watchfully. That's primarily what that is in Webster's. And in Vines, to await or expect eagerly, to look for with a view to favorable reception is to wait for the Lord.
When we're waiting on the Lord, when we're waiting patiently on the Lord, we're trusting that He's going to answer whatever it is that we're looking for.
Yeah.
That trust, yeah, and faith to me goes together. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's being patient. It's really being patient, knowing and trusting. And in longer times, we don't necessarily hear the answer or whatever. It's still okay. I don't hear from the Lord right away, but all right, Lord, I asked. And I'm just reminding you what I asked. And I know you haven't forgotten about me, and I'm trusting you to answer. I'm trusting you to do something here to make known, you know, whatever it is I've asked of you. Supposed to just be patient and watchful, waiting, expecting.
That one of the scriptures that we often go to when we're talking about waiting for the Lord is Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall not run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We know that the Lord is carrying us through all these things that we're going through. And we know that there's going to be an end to it. And all we have to do is just wait patiently and know that the Lord is doing his work in us. That patience goes along with waiting. And if you look back in your walk with Christ, that's the main thing that he's trying to get us to do, is to be patient. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm actually getting ready to swat a fly. I was thinking, you know, that the waiting on the Lord is such an exercise in faith, because you're waiting, you have a firm expectation something's going to happen, that what you prayed for will come to pass. And that is, is faith and faith building. And, you know, the definition of Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So while we're waiting on the Lord, we're practicing that faith.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? I'm waiting on the Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm just kind of reminded, as you said that, and, talking about this, I reminded a good message you spoke several months ago. It's been 4, maybe 5 months ago. You were talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, and you're talking about, hey, you know, we're coming into some major things here. You know, the times were getting ready to come in here real soon. And I mean, it really spoke to me, it helped me just at least calm down a little bit. Cause I mean, for so many years, I'm just thinking, and I'm sure it was like probably some of those, you know, those religious spirits, like we've talked about before, they're always getting you to do something, you know, get up and do something, get busy. You're not working hard enough. But I think, you know, what you said is like, you know, when God told them to stay, they stayed. When he said, get up and go, all right, it's time to go. You know, and he said, okay, yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to have periods. And I think you said you've had prophecies that have yet to come true, but you're just saying, God is saying, okay, just relax. Just stay still. And I thought, well, yeah, that makes total sense. You know, because I mean, for so long, I'm hearing people say, well, what are you doing? I mean, you should do this, or, you know, you should be that, you know, or, I mean, I'm always just, I guess I was always wondering, you know, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Instead, I was just like, you just hit it on the head. You know, God hasn't told you anything. Stay still. Or just be like Mary. Just sit at the, you know, lay at the, I mean, sit at the feet of Jesus, you know, rest as we talk about. Just rest and just, you know, or to allow him to restore you and, you know, refresh you. But just relax and rest, because I think that's a big thing with me is just like patience, being patient, realizing, okay, yeah, it's in God's timing, and it's not in our timing, you know, and everything's in his timing, and his timing is totally different than ours. So it's just realizing that, okay, you know, because if God has to tell you something, you know, to get you to go, he'll do it, you know, I'm starting to realize. But yeah, I mean, just rest, you know, do it. And I guess to say, do what you know now to do. but don't do anything more than what you think you should do. Because, I mean, I guess too many times I hear in these day and age, you know, I hear too many out there believers saying we need to get busy. You know, we need to get busy reaching souls. We need to get busy serving the Lord. I mean, yeah, we reach out to those, but it seems it's more like those religious spirits, you know, telling us to go out and do something instead of being led by the Spirit. So, or being led by God to do it. And it's, I think a lot of times it's done in the flesh. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think the main thing that God wants his people to do now is just get rid of the flesh and the world, separate yourself from both of them. So that we can help these people when the time comes.
Yep.
And that's what it seems like to me.
Yep.
All right. Anyone else? I see Marlon and Gaynold on. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right, Marlon, I hope you're in there listening. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Anybody else on waiting on the Lord? Go ahead, George.
My dad, hopefully, you guys have touched on a lot of this stuff already, but letting patience have its perfect work. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And if we don't, you know, a lot of times myself, if I don't know anything else to do, just to magnify the Lord and slow down and thank him for truth. The Bible says, blessed are those who have seen, but who have not seen, but still believe. You know, there's, you think about, how good our Heavenly Father is, and when we've got children and we see them antsy, or when they don't have peace, or we've told them something and they haven't rested in what we've told them, what joy it brings us when they finally just trust us, and it's like second nature that we gave them the word and they stay right on track with it. And that's a lesson they don't have to learn anymore, and we keep moving and growing. And I'm trying to be that obedient child to grow into a son of God. To you know, even when I have asked for something and I'm expecting quicker results, you know, the Bible's okay with us, my Father's okay with us asking again and coming back and knocking and, you know, bugging him a little bit, because I think it's not our Father that's being moved, but it's us speaking to him that's changing us. It's building our faith from a faith that can grab a hold of and stand on the word. You know, if we need that importunity, that persistence till we hear it and it clicks with us and we get a revelation of the truth that we've got, then we, you know, it's okay to keep knocking, keep asking and reminding and magnifying the Lord and who the giver of that promise is, I guess. There's a lot of, takes a test to get a testimony, so we should expect that we're going to wade through some stuff, and it might not always be for us as it is for those who are watching.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, here's another good verse. It's more about patience, but I think it's applicable. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that hurt. Praise God. We want faith. We've got to have faith that the Lord is listening. You know, sometimes, I just like this afternoon, you know, I said, I don't know if some of you do it, but yeah, I do. I said, Lord, can you hear me? Would you hear me? Listen to me, Lord. I want to tell you something. I need you to listen to me so I can tell you something. Now, I've done that. I did that today. And I'm more or less trying to convince myself that the Lord is listening. Okay? And that's my way of doing it. Lord, I just ask that you listen to me. Listen to my prayer, because I need you to listen to my prayer, because it's important to me. And he does. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
I just want to share a couple other scriptures that I've come to recently meditating on, and that's in Lamentations chapter 3. I'll just read the two here. It's Lamentations 3, 25 and 26. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's just some good ones to ponder on and meditate on in Lamentations. Just wanted to share those.
You need to keep going. There's some more good ones there. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silence, because he has laid it upon him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. Amen. He's talking about humbleness. Getting down in the dirt. Praise God.
What was that scripture again, Julie? Psalms.
That was Lamentations chapter
3.
Lamentations chapter 3, 25 and 26, I think she said.
Okay, thank you.
And I read 27.
Even starting in verse 21, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? All right. What else y'all want to talk about? Hey, Joe Brett, did this help you any?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Well, Lamentation, so I think I meditate, I'll be in. Spend some time on Lamentation. It's a good chapter.
That's a good one. All right. What y'all want to do now? Anybody got a subject matter or something they'd like to ask a question about, or something they'd like to talk about?
I've got something that I think you brought up last week or the week before. I've always just kind of, you know, I guess I understood one aspect of it, you know, when I think you spoke or just kind of came to mind. I thought, wow, yeah, that's what makes sense. The armor of God. I think I've heard various teachings throughout the last so many years, but I just, you know, nothing that really says, okay, this is what it is, this is what that is, this is what that is. But the one thing that kind of spoke to me was the shield of faith. Well, that's faith. You know, when lies come to you, trying to think what else I'm going to say. But, I forgot what the point I was going to make about the shield of faith. But, yeah, practically, what do those aspects of the armor look like? You know, you've got the different pieces. What exactly are those things? Because, you know, with the shield of faith is, faith in the promises, I think, is what was what I was going to say. When those fiery darts come, when those lies from the enemy, you know, try to get you to doubt and not believe that, you know, what the promises say. Well, you know, you have to exercise faith and say, no, that's not true. You know, this is what the word says. So, I don't know if that's exactly
all right. Right. Let's go through it. Yeah, let's just go through
it. Yeah, let's.
That's in Ephesians chapter 6.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 10 here.
Yeah. Oh, wait, let me see here.
I'm going to mute you, Joe. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I'm going to read it first and then we'll go back over. And in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, that's the armor of God in Paul's little dissertation at the end of it. So, put on the whole armor of God. Now, all of this is spiritual, as you all know. All right, we're going to start out with the first one here in Ephesians 6 and 14, and I'm going to want somebody else to tell us what it is. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. What is that? Having girded your loins with truth. Now, I know some of y'all know what that means. Go ahead, Andrew.
There's a verse in John chapter 14 where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, of course, there's a very quoted thing of the truth will set you free also.
Okay. What is the truth? Jesus Christ. You just said it. Go ahead, Leo.
Let all men be liars and God be truthful.
Amen. So if Andrew was talking about is Jesus is the truth,
right?
And Jesus is the word, so we need to gird our loins with the word, right? the truth of the Word. And the Word is the truth. Anybody else got something else they'd like to add to it? Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
Well, girding yourself would be clothing yourself. So you want to clothe yourself with truth, not making any provision for anything other than the truth. And if you have the full gospel, the true gospel, you'll do that, you know. It will be ever present upon you, so to speak. And that's all I got for that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That girding up means to cinch yourself up, right? All right, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is that when you're girding it, it's wrapping yourself kind of tightly, like you're getting ready to do battle, to hold yourself together. And so you want to, you know, wrap yourself tightly in the truth and not let anything, it's not like just holding where it's draped over you. It's close to you and close to your heart, and it's impenetrable if you're girded, is the way I would look at it.
Amen. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Well, it says to therefore stand, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. You're standing, you're facing your opponent. You're standing.
Amen.
You're not back down, you're not crouching, you're not fearful, you're standing.
With the truth, right?
With the
standing
truth.
With, yeah. That's right. We're standing with the truth. Okay, anybody
you're standing
else?
In the truth. You're standing on the truth. You're standing on the solid rock of truth. You're standing on stable ground. You're immovable. Yep.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Leah.
That the truth is like an underpinning. If you if you know the way that the Romans dressed and put on their armor and so forth, they had that the clothing underneath, so it wouldn't chafe them when they put the armor on, and that would be like an underpinning. And if you have the truth as an underpinning, then everything else will just fall into place, so to speak.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, Julie.
I guess we kind of need to go back to verse 10, where it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's not ours. It's the Lord in us, knowing who we are in Christ. That's part of the truth. You know, we're not doing it of ourselves. We can't. We're putting on the strength of the Lord.
Amen. Good point. Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
The part about have your loins girded about with truth. Well, the loins is the area of the reproduction, you know, where we reproduce things, and especially in our mind and in our thoughts. We are always producing thoughts, and we're to have the loins of our mind, you know, are to be girded about with truth. That's important. Otherwise, you let that deception get in there. You think, you know, things that take you down rather than lift you up. So truth is important. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's a good one. Okay. I hadn't thought about that. That's good revelation there. Anybody else?
That's 1 Peter 1:13 about girding up the loins of your mind.
Okay. What is it? 1 Peter what?
1 Peter 1:13.
I got you.
And I guess while I'm on, I'm just thinking like they're saying about the loins. When you exercise, that the loins is kind of like your core, and you you need a strong core to support everything else you want to do. You could get, I guess, a little beefed up in other areas, but if your core is not strong, you're not really a strong person. And that truth, building ourselves on that rock of the truth, and, you know, Jesus even said, you know, under the revelation of him coming from the Father, him being the Messiah, that the church would be built on that truth, on that rock.
Amen. Yeah, Leon.
In 1 Corinthians, Paul called it the foundation, that let no man lay any foundation other than Christ. And that's exactly what George was just saying. You know, that's and what I said before, the underpinning, it's a foundation of Christ.
Amen. All right, it's good. Anybody else? Okay. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What's she talking about there, having put on the breastplate of righteousness? Go ahead, Tim.
Kind of goes back to that faith thing again. Abraham, his faith was accounted as righteousness. So until we manifest righteousness, faith would be a building block of, you know, the breastplate.
Amen. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, the breastplate would obviously protect your breast, and I think it's talking about a heart of righteousness being protected there. That's what we get from Jesus. We get his righteousness and not our own. Paul talked about having righteousness in under the law when he was a Pharisee I think Philippians. Anyway, but now he counts that all dung, and he's considering he's considering the righteousness of Christ is what he really wants. And that's right in the heart. Protect your heart. So you would have a heart of righteousness too.
Okay. That's good. Anyone else? Yeah, Judy.
Well, I was just thinking how the breastplate would cover the whole, all your organs, like under your ribs and all those things. And the most important is your heart. And I was thinking about the scriptures in Proverbs chapter 3 about where the Lord says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, and keep them within your heart. For they are life to him who finds them, and healing to all his flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." And so we do have to guard, as part of the armor of guarding our heart and the truth that's been, the seeds of truth that have been planting there, because the enemy wants to steal those seeds. He comes Amen. To steal, kill, and destroy. So we have to guard our hearts and what's been written there.
Amen. What you got there, George? The Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 33:16. Amen. That's talking about the Lord too. On the breastplate of righteousness. Anything else on the righteousness of the breastplate of righteousness?
Yeah, my 1 John chapter 5, you know, he's saying, let me see. I'm sorry, the page slipped on me. It's about whoever, you know, is righteous does what is right. Okay. Yeah, 5:7. let no one deceive you, my children. Whoever does is righteous, just as Christ is righteous. Then farther, he talks about if you don't, if you continue in sin, you're of the devil. And then now down a little farther, here's the clear difference between God's children and the devil's children. Anyone who does not do what is right or does not love his brother is not God's child. So doing right, righteousness.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Danny. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, there's a verse here for righteousness and salvation at the same time. And, of course, it's everyone should know this one, I think. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power unto salvation to every believer, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For herein is being revealed God's righteousness from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. So this new life we get in our baptism, in our circumcision of our heart, and in taking up our cross and following him is how we live this righteous life in Christ. And of course it's got salvation in there too. It is God's power unto salvation.
All right. Anybody else? And in verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What are you saying, Andrew?
Same book in chapter 2. The two are made one, thus making peace. That gives you sort of the full gospel there.
Oh, yeah. It's the power of God. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Tim. Go ahead, brother.
The shodding your feet, would that maybe be referring to our walk with the Lord?
Yep. It's our walk with the Lord. Whew. Amen. Good tidings of great joy. Luke 2:10, George said. Well, what's the scripture?
I think kind of broke me out of considering the gospel, you know, it is good news. So many people get on the corner and scream, and you never hear the good news. So I wanted to put that in there. It's good, good tidings of great joy.
Amen. Yeah, Leah.
And I got Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. So there's your preparation for the gospel of peace.
Amen. All right. That's good.
Yeah. It's interesting to note in the Old Testament, it's talking about how beautiful are the feet of him. And when you get into the New Testament, it's how beautiful are the feet of them. So it's
yeah.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Denny. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just thinking about we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just looking up another scripture in Romans 15 and 33, where it says, now the God of peace be with you all. And 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfected, be comforted, be of the same mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And Philippians 4 and 9, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. Yeah, I think it's just, you know, we're walking in the truth and the righteousness and everything we know to do and to do, you know, what God's put in our heart, we're going to have the peace of God. You know, it's our walk of walking with peace with God in the Lord Jesus.
Amen. What's the main thing that Jesus wanted said was the most important thing?
Obey me, keep my commandments.
Love, yeah. Love. Absolutely. You can have all this other stuff. You know, have love, you ain't got nothing. That's what it is. Paraphrase it. Yeah. You don't have love, you don't have anything. That's the gospel of the Lord. Gospel of peace is love. Okay, anybody else? Okay. 1 Timothy 1 and 15, George said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, he did. Is there anybody in here that wasn't a sinner? Yeah, praise God. We got all sinners in here. Thank you, Jesus. Not no more, do we, Julie? Not no more. Amen. I saw you shaking your head. That's good. Tell you, I go, that's what I was watching for. See if anybody's going to accept that. Okay. Have you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Anybody else got anything else on that? Withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And boy, we can stay on this in the rest of the night. Yeah, Joe. Joe, you froze with your hand up. Now you're moving. Okay, anybody got something on Shield of Faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the evil one? The Shield of Faith. What is faith? Yeah, Leah.
Well, faith is believing God's word, and if the devil can take that away from you, he's going to hit you with all his fiery darts. So you got to keep that shield up and keep that faith strong and make it out of titanium or whatever the newest metal is.
Yeah, real strong metal. Yeah. Amen. Taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the evil one. Yeah, Tim.
When you think about a shield, it's the defensive tool to stop any incoming attack. Give yourself protection. So pretty important piece of equipment in the time of the Lord for a warrior.
We're having trouble hearing you, Tim.
That's because of the fire plane flying over the top of the house. the shield is a defensive weapon, you know, in the time of Christ, the soldiers all had it, and it was it protected them from any incoming assault. And I just wanted to, you know, kind of put that into context.
Amen. Active forward armor. God is our rear guard. Okay. Thank you, Lord. He's our rear guard. He's our front guard. He's my side guard. He's my right side and my left side. He's everywhere. Praise God. The shield of faith. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 comes to mind to me. I don't have it before me. Somebody want to read that for me? Man, I can get it off my phone again.
I go ahead. Yeah,
okay,
I got it.
Go.
10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen. And that's one of the promises we've got, so.
Yep.
That's part of that shield of faith. If you believe what the Word of God says, then you have the shield of faith up all the time. That's like I told the shield of faith. Let me tell you a little quick vision God gave me one time. And it was just in my mind. It might have been me. I don't know, but I'm just going to relate to it. Is that if somebody comes up to me, I had this picture of a guy coming up to me with a gun, and I warned him not to shoot me because I'm a child of God. If he shoots me, it's liable to go backwards and kill him because he's definitely not a child of God. I said, I am. But if you shoot me, it's okay. I'm going to Jesus. But if you mistake and it ain't my time to go, you're going to die. You know? And that's faith. The Lord was showing me faith then. That's faith. That's that shield of faith. You don't have to worry about all this stuff around you. You don't have to worry about the circumstances around you because God's got you in his hand. You got that shield of faith. If you believe the promises. Go ahead, Judy.
Thanks. That just kind of helped my visual. It's kind of like when you have a shield and you have your shield up, whatever comes in, it's Your shield is going to protect you from anything coming anywhere near your body or your mind or anything like that. If your shield is up and it's around you, it's like you just said, it's not going to get in and get close.
Yeah. Psalm 91. Passover lamb. I had to sneeze, y'all. Sorry about that. All right, anybody else on Shield of Faith? Come on now, that's a lot there. Come on, George, what you got, buddy?
I looked at another translation, and it says, above all, take up the Shield of Faith. And I saw in another little book that I got that it recognized that Samuel anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And it's kind of like it's a light shining on that shield of faith. Above all, take up the shield of faith. There's all kind of armor there, but that faith is seems to be, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems to catch a little of the spotlight there. So I thought I would at least say what was on my mind there.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. You're muted.
Even the devils and demons believe, so our faith has to be a better quality than theirs. Ours has to be a faith that believes and acts, and it can't be just that historic faith that Jesus was a person. You know, it's got to be more for us.
Amen. Yeah, that's where trust comes in too, with faith. We trust that the Lord's going to do what he says he's going to do. That's faith. Calling those things that are not as though they were. Yeah, Leah.
This is just a side note. I've heard sermons, of course, where they say you got to put your armor on every day. And you have to name it and put it on and name it and put it on and so on and so forth. But I think that you have it on continuously and you don't have to do all that, but I don't know. I'm kind of asking a question.
Well, no, you put it on it, like we do in the mornings when we pray, you know, we pray God's protection on ourselves, you know. Lord, show us what to do today. You know? That's the armor of God, I'll tell you. There have been whole books written on that armor of God. And they want you to get up and pantomime, putting on all this stuff, you know.
Right.
Well, where's your faith? That's like what we're talking
about. Well, that's what I'm saying, you know. If you got faith, you got faith all the time, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to apply it here and apply righteousness there. This is a spiritual picture. It's not something that you physically have to do. If you're walking in the Lord, if you're trusting in the Lord, if you're faithful to the Lord, then it's going to be there. You know, you've got all those pieces, parts already.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead, Tim.
I think the important thing would be to not take it off. You know, on every morning, but don't, you know, well, I don't need this tonight. You know, you'd be opening yourself up to move it.
Okay. Any minute, money, mo. Go ahead, Leo. I'll get you in a minute, dude.
I was going to comment on what he's saying about taking it off, and, you know, when I go to bed, I pray a prayer of faith, you know, and I cast out any demonic presence in my dreams and so forth. So that's the same kind of faith that I have during the day, you know. So I don't take it off.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, Well, it says in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I think of this, if it's the armor of God, it's not some puny little shield of faith. It's God's armor, and we're supposed to have the faith of God. And, you know, it's big, you know.
It's we're supposed to put on Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
That's what we do.
Fight the, good fight of the faith. Yeah.
Yes. Amen. We put on Jesus Christ. We walk like Jesus. We talk like Jesus. We do the works of Jesus. And we're going to do that. Y'all going to see that. You know, there's a lot of things that we haven't seen that God fixing to pour out on us here shortly. So, praise God. Yeah, we do it all by faith. Everything, us whole walk is by faith. We believe. We just believe. I believe God can do anything. You know, you say that, and then something comes up. It's out of the ordinary that you never seen God do before. And you scratch your head, you know, and say, well, I ain't never heard of that. That don't make any difference. God can do it. I'm telling you, I've seen him do some stuff I never thought was possible. Never thought possible that any one man or any two men or any whatever could pray and watch God do his miracle. It's awesome. If you got faith, God can do anything. Don't put God in a box. You put him in a box, that's what you got. You got a Jesus in the box. You better let him out and let him go ahead on and do what he got to do. I'm telling you. I mean, if he can still a storm out on the sea and walk on water, you can do it too. By the way, talking about walking on water, those over in Asia, I forget what islands they are, but there's some islands out there that these Asian people, Christians, they have to walk on the water to get to villages over on other islands. And what God told them, you know, in the beginning, he said, well, you seen me do it, why can't you do it? He said, okay, Lord. He told him, he said, just walk across the water. Just get on walking and don't worry about it. And they go out there and they get about ankle deep and they just keep on walking. And they stay about ankle deep all the way across that front. And they go to the village and minister to them. Praise God, you know. And just like David's been talking about, God's going to translate people in this time ahead. A lot of people are going to be translated back and forth to places to rescue people, taking them out of trouble and putting them into peace, going into trouble and taking people out of trouble and taking them back to a peaceful area. You'll see a lot of that. That's if you got the faith, if you believe God can do it. I read about a preacher over in Russia. He had three churches. He had three of them. The only problem was they were 1,000 miles apart. He was 1,000 miles from one church to the next one, 1,000 miles from that church to the next one, and 1,000 miles back to home. And he'd get up on a Sunday morning, and he'd preach his sermon in that church in wherever, whatever town he was in. And he'd tell them, well, folks, I got to go to my other church. And he'd put on his coat and he'd walk out the door. And the next thing you know, he was walking up the steps to a second church. God translated him there. And he'd get that message that afternoon. And he'd get through with this message. He'd straighten his tie up and put his coat on. And he'd go on. He said, all right, folks, I'll see y'all. God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday. And out the door he'd go. And the next thing you know, he'd be walking up the steps of that third church. And he'd give them the message that night. He'd be wore out. And when he got ready to go home, he'd straighten up his tie and put his coat on. Out the door he'd go. Next thing you knew, he was walking up the steps into his house. Don't tell me God can't do nothing. God can do it. He can, and he's going to do things just exactly like that. Amen. if you have the faith. If you have faith. How many of you know that God can do anything? I mean, if he created you, just think about this. If he created each one of us, a complex being that we are, he can do anything. He created everything you see. Everything you see, the universe out there, he created. Don't put God in a box, because he can do anything. He can part hundreds of miles long and wide snowstorms to a little old bunch in East Tennessee and go around them, and everybody else get up 10 and 12 inches of snow all around them because we prayed and we didn't want no snow. I'm telling you, God will do it. There's all kinds of, how many of you know God won't do everything that you think he'll do, you know? Is there anything God can't do? How many of you know God can go back in time and save somebody? You believe that? I do. I do. Because God does not dwell in time. Well, see, that's some of you is looking at me now. This guy's nuts. I'm telling you, I believe it. Yeah, there you go. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine. Praise God. Above all. And Joe, Britt, get ready, son. You may be coming to pot blessing Saturday. I don't know, you know. If you pray for it, maybe God will let you and Nora come to pot blessing. That'd be awesome. And you too, George, way up there in Maine. Praise God. And Andrew too. Good veggies, yeah. You ought to see some of the creative things that people are doing. Veggie burgers. Y'all ever eat one of them nasty things? Oh, boy, I better not get on to that.
Yeah, Michael, but when you're hungry, they're good.
Okay, so you have tried them. Okie dokie. Yeah. Anyway, this the faith that you have is what you're going to get. Just remember that. Okay, where are we at? We got time to get one more? Yep. All right, let's see. And take the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet of salvation? Somebody tell me what. Go ahead, Leon.
That one protects your mind.
All right.
Not going to get hurt in your mind.
That's right. Mind. See, go ahead, brother. Yeah, if you've got the truth of the gospel in your mind, you're not going to get deceived, are you? You're not going to get deceived. The helmet of salvation. Anybody got some spiritual aspects to this? Come on, Andrew. I can't hear you. I see your lip moving.
I think it's in Romans 8. The mind of the spirit is peace and life. So, you should add peace in your mind, too. Amen. The Lord's putting in there for you, and it's your life, the new life mind that's in you, the Christ mind.
Amen.
You know, in another place it says you got to guard the deposit. But he will also guard the deposit. I think that's in Timothy. It's not your wallet.
Okay. It ain't your wallet, folks. Amen. Anybody else on the helmet of salvation? That's your thoughts too, isn't it? That's your mind. That's your thoughts. It's everything that comes into your mind. And your ear gate, and your eye gate, your nose gate, and your mouth gate. The helmet of salvation. We speak like the Lord. We hear nothing but the Lord. We speak only what the Lord tells us to do. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Julie.
Just one, the scripture that was coming to my mind is in Psalms 140 in verse 7. It says, O Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. And verse 10, let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, whence they shall not rise. Maybe it was a different translation, but I was thinking it's like let their words fall back upon their own heads. You know, just the curses, things people say mm-hmm. about us.
Amen. You know, when speaking of the helmet of salvation, and I believe that also encompasses reading and studying the Word of God daily, every day, you know, getting the Word of God in you and walking with the Word of God and talking and seeing nothing but the Word of God, which will give you discernment. And discernment keeps you out of trouble. When you can discern false teaching, you can discern when somebody's trying to rookie-do you with the Word of God, because you already know the Scriptures. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to the last one here, isn't it? The sword of the Spirit. Oh, go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand.
I didn't get to it till right at the end, but I was just thinking on the helmet of salvation is keeping, like, kind of like what you're saying, but just keeping our thoughts in line with Christ's thoughts would give us a helmet. If we kept, keep your mind focused on Him.
Amen. That's exactly right. All right. Sword of the Spirit. Go ahead, George. Good.
I guess I've watched too many war movies, but those old timers, when the new one would get sent to the front lines, they'd never been there, and they might have been a typewriter or something, but they got sent to the front. You keep seeing these old guys grabbing their helmet and slapping it on their head, and I think that's evangelism, where we have to go and smack a helmet of salvation on people's heads, and every time they want to shake it off, or when they don't have it, or if we see somebody without one, we go find it and put it on their head, give it to them.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Wade.
Yes, I was wondering if that could be that verse, chapter 6, verse 17, about the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. I mean, the helmet of salvation. If that could be saying that the helmet of salvation, like the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God, as far as it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are they saying the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit and not the salvation? I'm seeing that our salvation is in our mind. It's the Word of God that's in our mind.
Yeah, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is our salvation. The Word of God is the whole armor there. It's the whole armor of God. Okay. Praise God. You're exactly right, brother. Amen. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's what we use to fight the devil with. It is written, devil. By His stripes, I've already been healed back at the cross. It is written, devil. I'm righteous. because God says I'm righteous and I believe it. You know, that's what the sword of the Spirit is. You come against the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. It is written, devil, you can't come up in here and mess with me, because I'm a child of God, you know. Anybody else on the sword of the Spirit? Yeah, Andrew.
John chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah, okay.
The Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
He's our sword.
Amen. That's the word of God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good one to close out on tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your son that came and gave us the word. And we praise you, Father, for all that he's done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for bold faith to believe anything. When we get in circumstances and we need you that we've never heard about anybody else doing, Lord, we're just going to believe. Because your word says in Mark 11:24 that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us these promises that we can stand on. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have that armor of God on every day, every hour of the day, night, day and night. And we thank you for it, Lord. We don't have to put it on every day. We got it on. We just wear it to sleep. We wear it waking. We wear it everywhere we go. Because we're children of yours, Lord, and you told us to do that. You told us to keep this walk that we have and to believe everything that you tell us in this word, Lord. We thank you for all the promises you've given us and all the commands you've given us as well, Lord, that shows us how to walk and talk the way that you want us to, Father. We thank you for your word of God. That sword of the Spirit that you've given us that we can whack the enemy with. Not only that, it shows us how to walk, Lord. It shows us how to talk. It shows us how to hear. It shows everything that we're supposed to do. And you know, Lord, I know that there are revelations in this Bible that we haven't even begun to uncover. It's just like layer upon layer upon layer of spiritual revelations that you've given us in this word, Lord. And I ask you, Father, to open up this word for everybody here and everybody listening, that every time they go to look for a subject, that they can go in there and they can peel them layers off one by one and see the revelations that you have for us, Lord. Lord, place it in their hearts to believe that you can do anything because you can. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your protection upon us. Tonight and the rest of the time that we're away from each other, and that we'll come together again next Tuesday night. And Lord, I just thank you for that, and that you're going to anoint us to speak and talk about whatever it is you want us to talk about. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Has anybody got a subject they'd like to go into Tuesday night? How about we take the parables? Let's take a parable. Which parable would be a good one to start with? Let's start with the first one then. Which one's the first one? Was it feeding the 5,000?
How about the sower sowing the seed?
That's a big one.
Yeah,
we can do that.
There you go.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll start with the sower. All right, good night, y'all. God bless you.
God bless.